Today I'll be reading from Isaiah 43, 1 through 7. But now this is what the Lord says, He who created you, Jacob, He who formed you, Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I give Egypt for your ransom, Cush and Saba in your stead. Since you are precious and honored in my sight, and because I love you, I will give people in exchange for you, nations in exchange for your life. Do not be afraid, for I am with you. I will bring your children from the east and gather you from the west. I will say to the north, give them up, and to the south, do not hold them back. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the ends of the earth, everyone who is called by my name, who I created for my glory, who I've formed and made. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
I wonder if you'd bow your heads and let's pray together. Holy God, it is good to be here today. It is good that we are all together in space, whether online or actually here in this room. And I pray for your spirit to continue to be here and to be powerful and to sweep across this room and in and through us and through all the people that have gathered today so that we might know you, so that we might come to understand how much you love us. And now I pray that you take these words and make them yours. And I pray it in your name. Amen. So today we're continuing in this sermon series, God's Plan. If you were here last week, there was no question mark after plan. And as Tom was talking to us, he said, you know what, there really ought to be a question mark there, because the truth is, what does that mean? What does it mean to say God's plan? And what we know is those two little words, God's plan, cause a lot of people to wonder what is that? What does that mean in my life? Does God have a perfect plan for my life? And if you were here last week, Tom talked about what's the difference between God's perfect plan and what is God's will for my life? And if you didn't hear it, I encourage you to go listen to the podcast because it's helpful. But today we're going to take it a step further, and the question mark really comes into play here, because we're going to talk about pain and suffering. And this comes as a result of conversations that I have had and all of your pastors have had for years with many of you and with other people saying, where is God in pain? When my life is falling apart, when my spouse's life is falling apart, when my children's life is in pain, where is God in all of that? And it's a good question to ask. It is a fair and legitimate question to ask, because we want to understand how a God who loves us is with us in this pain. And that brings us to a really important word that I want to teach you all today. And some of you might know this, but here's the word. It's theodicy. Theodicy. Will you say that? Theodicy. It's an important theological and now that you know it, it's just going to be really helpful to you. Here's the definition. It's longer, but it's important. Theodicy is the attempt to reconcile belief in a loving and powerful God in the midst of suffering. It's the attempt to reconcile our belief in a God who loves us even while we suffer. That's really important. If you're somebody who has said, where is God when I suffer? Then this is an important conversation for us to have today. You know, we only have to watch the news or talk to our neighbors or talk to ourselves when helicopters fall out of the sky and really innocent people are hurt or killed. When fires go through a whole country. Terrible things happen, and so we ask the question, God, where are you? I have asked the question. I would imagine all of you have asked the question too. And the thing that we want to talk about is how do we get to the scripture Jamie just read? Because I think it's a really important scripture, and I think it's going to be helpful to you. The question is, where does our pain and suffering come from? Well, pain is very personal. Pain is something that we often try to hide. If we're in pain, we try to put on a mask so people can't see the pain that we're in, whether it's physical pain or emotional pain. I was at the church office a couple of weeks ago, and I was down at the copy room. You know, there's a glass wall that separates the main office from the gathering space, and I was just leaning against the copy room because I just copied something, and I'm reading whatever I had. As I was standing there, I heard this really loud bang. I looked up, and there was a woman who I knew, who was, in fact, a friend of mine, and she had run smack into the glass. Yeah, have you ever done that? You're walking along, you're thinking, and you turn, and this, bam! And I looked at her, and she's kind of standing like this and rubbing her forehead, and then she looks around, and she walks into the office, and I'm like, hey. She's like, you didn't see that, and I said, nope, I didn't see it at all. And she's rubbing her forehead, and it's red, and she was fine. She was fine. She was embarrassed. She really didn't want anybody to see the pain. Well, that example, that silly example, leads us to an important question. Where is God in the pain? Did God cause her to walk into that glass wall? Because God was trying to teach her a lesson? I just don't think that's how God works. But it's just so important to think about this, and that's why we want to study theodicy. Some Christians believe, and in fact they're even taught, that if we love God enough, if we are good enough, then God will protect us from pain. If you do enough good deeds, then God will take pain away from your life. That's not my experience. And there is no biblical foundation for that. In fact, I can't find any character in the Bible who doesn't experience pain at some point in their life. That's why there are scriptures like these. There are many scriptures. Here's one from 1 Peter. Dear friends, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal that has come on you. Does that sound like there's pain in the world? Here's the next one. Blessed be God who comforts us in all our affliction. That sounds like there's pain in the world. Or then there's this one that we find so comforting. We love to read the 23rd Psalm. It is a beautiful psalm. But as you read the 23rd Psalm, it says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we will experience pain in our life. Pain is just part of what we do. That's because we live in a broken and fallen world. The question is, what does the pain mean in our life? What do we do with this? It's like pain. There are so many different types of pain, and they're all tangled together, like in a ball of yarn or something that's just all tangled, and you're trying to take it apart and you don't really know how to do it. So I want to spend a little while walking through some different types of pain in order to help us understand this. The first type of pain, interestingly enough, God gives to us. God gives this gift of pain to us. It's called protective pain. When our daughter was 3 years old, tiny little thing, very obedient child at that age. She was just the first child. And we were cooking, and we were standing at the stove, at the counter, which was next to the stove, and the burner was on. But she was such an obedient child. She would do whatever I told her to do. It was a lovely thing. And then we're cooking, and I saw her look at the burner, because it's red, right? It got red hot. And I said, oh, don't touch the stove, honey. It's hot. And the next part was in slow motion. I'm watching her as she takes this little tiny 3-year-old finger, looking at me in defiance, and just places it on the burner. And I did the same thing. It was like I couldn't get to her fast enough, and I snatched her away. And I watched her face change from, I'm doing this, to, oh my gosh, this hurts. And she picked up her finger, and I took care of it. And a little while later, she's sitting on my lap, and I'm holding her. And frankly, we're both crying at this point because I felt terrible. But she sat like this, and she said, "Mommy, it hurts." And I said, "That's because it's burned. You put it on the stove when I told you not to." Now, it would be really hard to convince that child that was a gift at the time, right? But just think if she didn't have any nerve endings in her finger. Just think if she had left it on that burner longer and it would have gotten much, much worse, a third-degree burn, infection, and all the terrible things that come from burns. God gave her nerves so she wouldn't do that. God gives us this protective pain so that when we do something that hurts, it'll make us stop and back away and go, "Oh, wait a minute. Perhaps I shouldn't do this." That protective pain, it is a gift from God. The second type of pain I want to spend a minute on is pain from perseverance, or we call it no pain, no gain. This is another thing from God. God, we were created in the image of God, right? We were created to do good, to be good. We were created with perseverance and the ability to keep going even when things are really hard. I talked to a friend of mine this morning who has a daughter in high school, and she said, "It's so hard right now. She's got all these tests. She's applying to go to college. Other people are trying to figure out what are they going to do after they graduate." And it feels to this high school senior like life is just pressing in, but she's still going. It's perseverance that you can keep going because at the end of this is something better. Graduation is coming. Some of you, we had the guest house here this last week, the hypothermia shelter. Some of you came and you spent all night here. And then you went home, took a shower, and went to work. I greatly admire you. And while you were at work that day, there was a time in the day when you said, "I would love to lay my head down on my desk and take a nap," but you didn't. You stayed up, and it was a little uncomfortable, perhaps even a little painful, but you did it because you believe that even people who are unhoused should have a safe and warm place to spend the night. You persevered through it. It's not the end of the world. It's not a terrible thing, but it is a little uncomfortable and difficult. But you did that. Another place. This kind of pain has allowed our civil rights movement to move forward. Think about students that used to sit at lunch counters in defiance of the law. The law. They would sit at the lunch counter, they would order, and they would sit there even though they were called terrible names. They had things thrown at them, and worse. And worse. Think of Rosa Parks sitting on the seat on the bus. Think of men and women linking arms in solidarity as they walk across a bridge, knowing that on the other side of the bridge are people with fire hoses and police dogs that will come after them. There will be pain on the other side of the bridge, and yet they keep on walking. Because they have this gift of perseverance and persistence, and they know that if they do not walk through this pain, there will not be a better outcome. It is the gift of perseverance and persistence, and it's because you believe in something more, something better. You're willing to suffer now because you know something good is coming. Pain from perseverance, no pain, no gain. And then there's pain that is the outcome of love. It's the outcome of love. God gives us this capacity to care for others. God gives us this capacity to carry a deep and beautiful love. It is the love you feel when your child is placed in your arms and you look at their face and you think, nothing will harm this child. I love this child. Or it's that feeling that when you look at someone and you look in their face and you go, "I want to spend the rest of my life with you. I will do anything to protect you because I love you." Thomas Paine has this beautiful quote. He said, It is dearness only that gives everything its value. It is dearness only that gives everything its value. Dearness measures the depth of love we hold, but it's also the predictor of the pain we will feel when the one we love gets hurt or the relationship sours or the illness comes. It's the outcome of love. Yet if we didn't love, we wouldn't feel the pain. But if we didn't feel the pain, then we wouldn't love. It is an interesting tangle of things. A.A. Milne is the children's author. He wrote Winnie the Pooh. And there is this great line that says, let me get it right for you. How lucky I am to have someone that makes saying goodbye so hard. How lucky I am to have someone that makes saying goodbye so hard. It is a gift to have that kind of love. But with that kind of love, we feel that kind of pain. Finally, we experience pain in bad decisions. The other day, I was driving down the parkway. And as we often see, there were two cars. One had rear-ended the other car, and there was a police car there. They all looked fine. They were, you know, taking notes, doing the insurance exchange thing. And I just thought, I wonder what happened. I wonder what happened to cause that little fender bender rear end. It happens a lot. Chances are it was a bad decision, right? Do you ever make bad decisions when you're driving? No, probably not. But some people do. Some people text when they drive. Some people try to eat a burrito when they drive. Some people want to find the perfect podcast or the place on the podcast when they drive. And when they do that, that's a decision that they have made, and it causes them not to pay attention, and then there you are. It's just really unfortunate. I don't think God told them to get the burrito. I don't think God said, you will do this so that you can experience this. That was simply a bad decision. That's a bad decision. That accident, that affected two or three people. But there are other bad decisions that are made that affect so many more. I was downtown last summer. I went downtown with a group of people, and we went to the Holocaust Museum. That's a hard museum to walk through. But it's important because they set it up that you wind your way through, and as you're winding through this horror of Hitler and the Nazi war machine, you realize that it was one bad decision after another, and that whether it was one man's bad decisions or all of the people that agreed and just stood by and either were silent and did nothing or were complicit and they made their own bad decisions. And he wanted to wipe out an entire people and came pretty close. And it's bad decisions. And God doesn't cause that. God doesn't say, I want to teach people a lesson, and so this is what's going to happen. It is the result of a broken and fallen world that we live in. That's where we live, and we have this thing called free will where we can make our own choices, and we get to make our decisions, which is why it's so important to make decisions that honor God. That's why we encourage you to attend to the spiritual practices, you know, worship and prayer and scripture and Christian conversation, so that when you're making a decision, you have an umbrella of God that helps you make a good decision. Bad decisions affect a lot of people. Pain is just the part of our fabric of our human life. It is woven into the tapestry. Some of the threads we put in ourselves, some of the threads are put in by others. Still others are the result of living in a fallen world. I've been with people in all of these types of suffering, and I bet you have too. I bet you've experienced much of this suffering. I know I can look out today, and I know that some of you are. There's the suffering of illness, the suffering of uncertainty, the suffering of broken relationships, suffering of addictions. It's this pain, and we say, God, where are you? Why am I experiencing this? And we struggle with that and this tightly tangled ball, and we want to figure it out. And that's where the scripture comes in. Because I can't explain a lot of the pain in the world. I can't do it. And it's not my place to do it, and I don't think I have to. What I want to do, what I want to convince you of, is that the scripture that Jamie read today is true. I want you to hear it, and I want you to think of it as a love letter from God to you. God wrote this because of you. You know, it was originally written for the people in exile. But it's also written to you today. So listen, listen to what God is saying. But now, this is what the Lord says. He who created you, Jacob, he who formed you, Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name, and you are mine. The God of the universe calls your name. He knows your name. I think it's so interesting. You know, we have children, we have puppies, we have gerbils, and we name them. You know why we name them? Because we love them and we want to call them by name. And that name becomes dear to us. It's that dearness piece again. So that when you love someone and you say their name, they can hear it in your voice. And the God of the universe summons you by name. Now this is what the Lord says. He who created you, Sue. He who formed you, Kelly. He who created you, Bob. He who formed you, Reba. Like God's calling your name. I have summoned you by name and you are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. Do you hear what's happening there? First of all, when you pass through the rivers, when you pass through the fire, you will pass through it, is what this is saying. It's not saying someday you might do this, possibly it will happen. No, when you do this. But then listen, when you pass, I will be with you. Not maybe, not I might. Not on a good day. No, I will be with you. When you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. Do you hear the promise? Do you hear the love in that? I heard this the first time many, many years ago now. And I was in a place of significant pain. Like I was struggling. I was doing the questioning. I'm like, God, where are you in this? And I remember reading it. It was part of a Bible study. And I'm reading it. And I'm hearing, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. Like I heard the fire and the river and the waters. And I remember hearing it. And I remember feeling I was going to choke. Like, it was just this feeling of panic of, oh my gosh, I am in fire and flood in my life right now. This is terrible. What am I going to do? But then I read it again. I will be with you. I will not leave you. Do not be afraid, for I am with you. God is as close as the air you breathe. God is as consistent as the rising of the sun. God is present in the midst of the fire, in the midst of the flood, in the midst of whatever is happening in your life right now. God is there and will be with you. It's a love letter from God. And then one more thing. That first part is saying God will be with you no matter what. And then the second part of the scripture says, I will bring your children from the east and gather you from the west. I will say to the north, give them up, and to the south, do not hold them back. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the ends of the earth. What God is saying here is, listen, pain will disrupt your life. When you go through a hard time, everything gets scattered. When you are sick, when you are ill, when you're dealing with cancer or heart disease or something, all of a sudden, everything feels unmanageable. There are people everywhere, and you feel like you don't know where to go or what to do next, and your life is not orderly. And God says, don't worry, because I'll be there, and I'm going to pull all those threads back together. And it's going to be okay because I love you and you are mine. The thing I want to leave you with today is the beauty of that promise. If you get nothing else from this sermon, I want you to understand God is with you in fire and in flood, and God loves you through everything. When you go home today, just read this. It's Isaiah 43, 1 through 7. It's not very long. Read it and put your name in it. And just recite that and say, hey, God loves me. And then just put it down and close your eyes. And just listen to the voice of the God who loves you. And know that you will never be alone. As you leave today, just take that good word, that benediction of God's love, and write it on your heart. And I think it will be good for all of us. Amen? Amen. I wonder if, as the band is coming forward, you would rise as you wish, in body or in spirit, and let's sing together.